The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
With offices in Jacksonville and St. Augustine, Recovery Keys is Northeast Florida's leading provider of addiction treatment and rehabilitation. Recovery Keys recognizes addiction as a disease, not a moral failing. Our team of board-certified physicians and counselors are experts in treating individuals struggling with alcohol, drugs, and pain medications. Begin a new life free from the ravages of addiction. Call Recovery Keys right now at 904-834-4010. That's 904-834-4010. To speak with our addiction specialist standing by ready to help, 904-834-4010. WBOB AM 600 and FM 101.1 welcomes you to today's Ask the Expert show. With local experts in the fields of legal, financial, health, and home improvement, each week our experts offer educational information on important subjects that affect your day-to-day living. Now, sit back and enjoy today's Ask the Experts.
Hello and welcome to our Ask the Experts program here today, and we are joined by Dr. Jeremy Mirabile. How you doing today?
Very good, Roger. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're happy that you're here talking about something very important to the community, and you operate a clinic here in our area that helps people who are suffering from addiction.
That's correct. Recovery Keys.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about what your clinic offers.
Sure. You know, basically on the front end, we do comprehensive evaluations for folks who have drug or alcohol use disorders and for those family members who are concerned that a loved one or someone may have a problem in that regard. After we do a comprehensive medical assessment, we then recommend an appropriate level of care for treatment to put the disease into remission.
Okay. That's good stuff to know. And, you know, I've come through a mental evolution, as it were, in understanding addiction myself. And there was a time in my life, I confess, I used to think that it was a character problem, that people who became drug addicts, they just had some problems with life and, you know, weren't making proper choices. And, you know, my eyes were opened because, you know, when it comes to, you know, a physical issue such as anything from catching a cold to getting cancer, getting sick is a factor in our bodies of the human conditions, but we don't tend to think of the brain as a physical organ that can get sick. And we were talking that very often people who are suffering from addictions, there's actually a physical component to that's genetic in many cases. Talk about something called co-occurring conditions.
Absolutely.
And how that ties in.
Thank you, Roger. And that's exactly a great characterization. That's the organ that is affected. If we were talking about diabetes, we may be saying the pancreas is the organ that's affected. But with the disease of addiction or other co-occurring or happening together mental health conditions, the organ affected is the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And when we dig into, well, which condition is it? Is it anxiety, depression, or is it a substance use disorder? We may need to look at various locations of the brain. We know that the disease of addiction affects an area of the brain called the midbrain, and that's in the reward center. And we know that other diseases such as anxiety and depression may occur outside of that location. So we may have actually two conditions going on simultaneously.
I see.
One before the other or one after the other.
So would you say it's accurate that someone who may suffer from the physical mental condition of having depression, which the doctors tell us that's something that's in their brain that just makes them unhappy a lot, end up turning to substance abuse to self-medicate the depression and end up becoming addicted?
Absolutely. We find that very frequently, that we may have another condition that seems to predate the blossoming or the addictive disorder coming to light.
Yeah. Are they hard to diagnose?
Well, what we do is we need to get the chemicals, whatever the substance may be that a person is ingesting, whether it's alcohol or drugs, or even prescription drugs, believe it or not. Anything that goes through the reward pathway of the brain and is a chemical, prescribed or not, can be a problem. So we need at least 30 days, if not 60 or 90, to really kind of wash that out and see if there is an independent mental health condition co-occurring or predating the substance use disorder.
But a lot of military people who are living in our city and our nation's come through some conflict recently. We think of some of our military personnel who suffer from PTSD.
Yes.
And other issues. We find a lot of them end up in homeless situations and very often addicted. Would that be qualify as in the same category of what we're talking about right now?
Absolutely. You know, having a traumatic experience can really precipitate the disease of addiction. If we think of that reward center of the brain as the I'm okay, kind of like that's my gas tank, and if I'm below a certain level in my feel-good chemical, then I need to seek other things to make me feel okay. And if I have a traumatic experience, or I go to a war-type situation, or I just have other things happen to me that are significantly unpleasant, mm-hmm. I can deplete those rewarding chemicals in that part of my brain, and it leaves me wanting or really needing another level of fulfillment. And often drugs or alcohol are right there. Mm. They're quick, they're fairly immediate, and they actually change the way I feel.
RecoveryKeys.org, if you'd like to get in contact with Dr. Marabali and learn more about what his clinic offers and the help that he can get, give to people who are suffering. And it's not just people who may have been in the military who suffer from PTSD. I was listening to another broadcast earlier today that sometimes sexual assault can lead to PTSD. What are some of the other things that can lead to people turning to alcohol and drugs to treat their depression or their trauma, the post-traumatic stress trauma?
Well, we know there is a close link between trauma and addiction, and folks may have had an experience when they were younger, per se, whether it was in the home or with their friends or away, that could have caused the change in the brain that is just enough to really allow the disease of addiction to take a foothold and show itself.
Mm. How much time goes by for the average person to realize they have got a problem? You think about family members, loved ones, staging an intervention. Do you see that too much time has just gone by and they could have been treated a long time ago and happily ever after, back to a normal life?
Absolutely. The problem is that drugs and alcohol in the short run actually work.
Yeah.
They work to accomplish the initial goal, which is change the way I feel. Change the way things are looking in my life and give me potentially some energy, some escape. But the cruel joke is that over time, the feel good goes away and I can't even use enough chemical to feel okay. I just chronically feel miserable. So folks, over time, you know, everyone on the outside says, well, they're using a substance. They must be partying all the time or feeling good all the time. And that's not so. The substances only serve to change the way we feel and potentially feel good for the very early stages. We're talking days or weeks, maybe months. And by the end of it, years later, it's misery. But an individual doesn't know quite how to get out of it. And mm-hmm. by that point, there is so much shame and guilt with all the things I may or may not have had to do to supply my habit that I can't ask for help.
Yeah, there's a whole issue of denial as well. Sometimes people think they can handle it. In fact, I've got a friend who is a minister, believe it or not, and he, you know, used recreational drugs back when he was a teenager. Later on in life, he had some medical treatment that ended up causing chronic pain, and the doctors were trying to treat that, and the medicine wasn't as effective as it would have been otherwise.
Yes,
and they don't think they have an issue with drug or alcohol dependency. What are some of the signs that family members need to look for when they see a person who may have a problem that they need to see someone like you to get help for?
Well, I first want to speak to that point of denial. It's a very good one, and that is, you know, often it's talked about that denial is the main or the first symptom of the disease of addiction. Well, that's partially true in that it does exist, but also across the spectrum with other medical conditions, the level of denial exists as well. If we think of the person initially diagnosed with diabetes, I very rarely have seen folks who accept that at face value. Often it's one trip to their doctors, another trip potentially to the emergency department, and it may take a couple of hospitalizations for it to really cement into the person's mind and heart that they have a biologic condition that they need to accept, that their system is a bit different and I need medications, I need an intervention, I need treatment for this medical condition, and therefore it kind of goes hand in hand with substance use disorder or addiction. Whether it's diabetes or addiction, there's this level of denial that comes with all medical diseases. Yeah. As far as signs and symptoms, you know, with regard to family, it's definitely the change in behavior, the social withdrawal, the depression, change in personality, and then basic knowledge and admission that the person is using a chemical. That's really kind of a hallmark when you add it all together. In the absence of other factors, I have chemical use, I have a change in behavior, personality, relationships with family and friends, ability to meet my obligations at work and at home. That's really the perfect storm for meeting criteria for having a disorder, and would need a professional to dig in and have a formal evaluation.
Yeah, most of the people you treat do have an issue with chemical dependency, whether it be in liquid form, alcoholism, yep, or some type of medication they're taking. And but you've spoke to me privately that sometimes you treat people who don't necessarily have a chemical addiction, but they're addicted in some other way to something that's not healthy for their family or for themselves.
Absolutely. We've had some recent studies that were done out of Las Vegas, of all places, that really showed that things like gambling can manifest itself in physical symptoms of irritability, withdrawal, sweating, craving, when I'm taken away from my process of choice. In this case, it may be gambling that creates the high for me. So it's not a powder or a liquid at all. It's a process. And that can kind of go over into other things, whether it's internet, whether it's shopping, potentially eating, or even workaholicism.
I think of sexual addiction as well.
Yes.
You know, and that can be very devastating to a family.
Yes. That's part of the reward pathway of the brain. Food, water, and sex often goes through the same pathway of the brain. And then when something more reinforcing comes in, it actually pushes out some of the less rewarding behaviors, and the new ones become paramount to what the brain thinks is survival. It's not survival at all, but the individual living with the experience believes that they need that chemical or that process in order to survive. So when somebody kind of comes in and tries to take that away from them, their reaction is, expectedly so, fairly resistant, defended, and uses other things to push people away.
Dr. Marbley is with us today, and we're talking about addiction. He operates a clinic here in our area. Where are you located, by the way?
In Jacksonville, in Bartram Park area, and also in St. Augustine over the 312 bridge.
Okay, helping a lot of people in our area deal with addictions, whether it be alcoholism, whether it be drug abuse, whether it be some other area of addiction that's not healthy. He is here to offer help, and you can learn more about his practice at recoverykeys.org, recoverykeys.org, and really wants to see you on a path to recovery. Talk about real quickly the differences between one rehab program and another.
Well, as long as someone gets help, get help somewhere. But if we have to drill down into, you know, what makes the components most effective, we find that the multidisciplinary approach, which means that I have professionals in different disciplines who are coming to bear on my medical problem. So that might mean a psychotherapist, someone certified in therapy, someone who is able to relate regarding counseling, personal recovery, 12-step type addiction-related counseling. A psychologist is also useful, potentially, to do some more testing in domains of my brain that may be affected. Maybe my memory is not the same. Maybe I have a safety-sensitive position and I need to know what has the disease done that's affected my ability to practice my profession of choice. Another member of the multidisciplinary team, you know, would be the physician, who does a comprehensive medical evaluation and assessment, and really gets the comprehensive picture. A family therapist is potentially another member of the team who specializes in what the disease has done to my family. We often speak of it as a family disease, even though one person is suffering with it. All of those who are close to them potentially suffer the effects as well.
Because this is a medical treatment issue, federal law guarantees confidentiality. What is if someone's embarrassed? They don't want people knowing that they need to get treatment. Talk about some of the safeguards that are in place right now and federal laws that keep people from knowing their private business with respect to this issue.
Absolutely. Very sensitive issue, and we are sensitive to it as a treatment center. You know, when folks come in, it's a private, confidential evaluation, and that record is kept under lock and key, double. And, you know, basically, folks are familiar with HIPAA, the Health Information Protection Act, that most hospitals and, you know, other medical facilities follow. For mental health and addiction treatment, there's actually another kind of statute that's sort of above HIPAA, that's called 42 CFR, and that has to do with federal confidentiality of mental health and substance abuse treatment and records. So it's, you know, extra protected.
Extra. That's good to know, because a lot of people may be resistant to getting treatment because they feel material are coming out.
Yeah.
And then everyone's going to know what their problem is. And maybe they work in a profession where this kind of thing has a stigma associated with it. It could hurt their career or whatever the case may be. RecoveryKeys.org is the way you can learn more about what Dr. Mara Blee is able to offer people who are suffering with addiction. Talk about some of the credentialing agencies. I'm looking at one called the Joint Commission, and there may be some others.
Yes, the Joint Commission is one of the gold standards for addiction treatment programs. They basically come in, do a very thorough audit, and it's the external validation that really gives that gold seal of approval that this place has the multidisciplinary staff and attention to detail that's required to adequately treat this disease. Other groups, you know, the American Board of Addiction Medicine is a newly formed board for physicians that really gives the seal of approval for the medical doctor who is evaluating and treating the disease of addiction. You know, one would like to see that physician is board certified from the American Board of Addiction Medicine.
When we think about addiction traditionally, especially someone who's not been affected by it, either themselves or a family member, there's this thinking that, you know, the guy is going down to a bad part of town. They're finding a guy wearing a hoodie and, you know, he sells them something under the darkness of night and a little plastic bag. But that's not necessarily the case a lot of the times. People are getting, in many cases, legal prescriptions, you know, from their doctor to treat a legitimate issue, and it just gets out of control. Talk about the issue with prescription medication and the crisis we're seeing with opioids in our area.
Absolutely. That's a common theme nowadays. In fact, it's as prevalent as alcohol use disorder, where someone has an event, such as a motor vehicle accident, and they get sent to potentially their orthopedic physician and then pain management, and then they get placed on prescription opioid medications, such as oxycodone, hydrocodone, and they can't get off. And often they might have a primary care doctor who's giving them another medication, let's say Valium or Xanax, for sleep or for anxiety, and they start mixing and matching and potentially getting themselves into a physically dangerous situation that could result in a failure to breathe.
I'm thinking right now, and it's breaking my heart right now. I'm thinking of a young lady, a little girl at church that I remember seeing when she was growing up, and you know, she became a young lady in her 20s and apparently had some type of issue like this where she was hurt. Doctor gave her some medicine, and one night she decided to take it with a glass of wine and didn't wake up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that kind of thing happens.
It's unfortunate. It's 1 + 1 = 3. There's a synergy that we can't quite predict medically when we start to give multiple classes of sedating medications together and the mixing and the matching. And it's kind of compounded when folks are sort of not under the care of a physician and they sort of think, I'm going to do what I think is best for me. Maybe I'll take a little more of this, a little less of that, and kind of come up with my own concoction. It's another level of risk.
It's real serious. And maybe you know someone, maybe you yourself struggles with addiction. You can get help. There is help here. Dr. Marabelli would love to see you, to meet with you. You can learn more about his practice. A couple of clinics in our area, in the Mandarin area and in St. Augustine, recoverykeys.org, recoverykeys.org. Medical professionals, Dr. Marabelli, have a very unique risk of being addicted. Talk about that very quickly.
When we look at population-based studies and we say, well, how many folks in America may be subject to or have the disease of addiction? Numbers seem to indicate around 15%. And we have some trouble nailing that number down because a lot is relied on self-report. And there's a lot of shame and guilt with the condition. But even 15% of 300 million, we're talking about a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
And if we compare that to the number of folks with diabetes, it's actually more prevalent than diabetes. And when we kind of move that over to health professionals and other professionals, the frequency, the prevalence of this disease is about the same. So, you know, they actually suffer with, you know, mental health issues as well as substance use disorder about the same rate as the general population and need treatment as well.
And again, we're going back to our initial conversation earlier on that, you know, a lot of this is physiological. You know, there's a brain condition that they inherited from their parents, their grandparents and great-grandparents that makes them more likely to become addicted if they are exposed to it. And again, the access of someone working in the medical profession. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it gets into a lot of detail. And they started to ask, you know, well, are certain disciplines in medicine potentially more apt to have this disease show itself? And we know there's a genetic situation where I may be predisposed no matter where I work and what I do. But when we kind of get into the data with health professionals, it seems like the field of anesthesia has the highest rates of addiction. addiction kind of across the board. And there's been some research done that seems to indicate that maybe exposure to some of those chemicals, even basically breathed in the air of the operating room, as somebody leans over, you know, the patient taking care of them, that can sort of open the gateway or open a process, you know, into the disease of addiction blossoming, combined with access to, you know, medicines and being around that sort of stuff all day.
And doctors, they have to be very, very, very sensitive. Sometimes do you find that if someone's a medical doctor and there may be a nurse that works in his office, he may be more willing to give that nurse a prescription for something that's a little dangerous that he wouldn't give a typical patient, thinking that that nurse has a better grasp and understanding of what the risk of the medication is?
Yes. If the person prescribing, you know, whether it's a doctor, an ARNP or whatever, doesn't understand the disease of addiction and really doesn't do a good risk-benefit profile, then the risk, you know, of causing a problem is higher than it needs to be. You know, just like any other modality that a physician would propose for a treatment, you have to be able to objectively gauge risk versus benefit. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not really trained in sort of understanding what is the potential risk in the person I'm prescribing to, as in the risk of them having an underlying addictive disease or having a genetic predisposition, then am I really opening them up to more problems than good?
Okay. Before we wrap up, there's certain professions that if someone becomes addicted, it could actually threaten their ability to work. They could have their licensure revoked for various professions. Talk about that and how you can help those people.
Yeah, there are only certain, I would say, treatment centers that have a full grasp on the understanding of a safety-sensitive position. You know, there are some occupations that require a certain skill set in order to go back to work and reliably perform one's job's functions. You need to have assessment, evaluation, and treatment by a place that's familiar with that. And, you know, that ranges from, you know, somebody working, you know, as a harbor pilot or in a nuclear power plant, high tension, you know, power to operating room, emergency department, you know, and other fields that carry potentially risk to the public if I'm not well. Yeah. So we at Recovery Keys like to do a thorough kind of not only evaluation, but job and treatment so that someone could safely return to their profession of training and choice if possible.
Insurances, does that typically cover your services?
Yes, that's the good news, is that insurance does cover drug and alcohol treatment. Yeah. For, you know, folks, depending on the policies, and there's a lot of details in that, but in general, it's available. There are community resources for those who don't have insurance, you know, safety net type stuff for each community. And I think in Jacksonville, Gateway and River Region do a good job for us. And then Epic and Stuart Marchman a little bit further south of here. So there's really no excuse not to get help in some form or fashion. If I do have commercial-based insurance and I can go to a treatment center such as Recovery Keys, that's fantastic. If I don't have any insurance or any resources, I can still get help, at least through the community-based providers.
Mm-hmm. I can hear your heart and your compassion for those who are suffering, because you're not just trying to get people to come to your service, which is Recovery Keys, but get help where they can get it.
Absolutely.
And I admire that and commend you for letting that be known with those who may not have the insurance that covers it. Let's ask one last question. The addiction problem not only affects that person, but it affects their ability to provide. It affects maybe the atmosphere in the home. Talk about how addiction not only affects the individual, but everyone around them.
Yeah, we say right up front that it's a family disease, you know, and often some of the ones suffering the most are actually the family members. So in good treatment, when an individual comes in, often the best gift that they give is to the family to say, I'm going to get help, and they can actually sleep at night knowing that their loved one is getting treatment for their condition. So that's one of the perspectives that we provide for the patient and the family to actually take this courageous step is give it as a gift to those who are concerned for you. The family also becomes enmeshed in the process, you know, as that individual has become overtaken by the behaviors that drive the disease. You know, they've had to either distance themselves or potentially be part of the addiction cycle and subserve the really demands of that person. It's exhausting, it's dangerous, and it really needs to be also addressed and treated. While their loved one is in treatment, we often recommend specific help for the family to get healthy again.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Marbley. The time has really slipped by us, but hopefully people listening right now will have a better understanding of the problem. Maybe they're coming to realize they may need to see someone like you right now before it really gets out of control, or maybe it's out of control already. You're easy to find online, recoverykeys.org. recoverykeys.org.
Ed Dean, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, The Savage Nation, Mark Levin, Laura Ingram, WBOB, AM 600, and FM 101.1, The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says a centerpiece of President Trump's visit to Saudi Arabia is to curb any threats to the region posed by Iran. Tillerson says a series of military and private sector deals agreed to by both sides will send a strong message to our common enemies. The Secretary of State speaking from Riyadh at a joint press conference with the Saudi foreign minister. Meanwhile, in Iran, tens of thousands of supporters of President Rouhani have poured into the streets of Tehran as night falls to celebrate the incumbent's re-election. The impromptu rallies, snarling traffic in the center of the Capitol, leaving many drivers to abandon their cars in the middle of major roads. Senate Republicans are using closed-door meetings to try to write legislation that would dismantle Obamacare. They're running into obstacles and are considering options like a short-term bill if the talks continue to drag on. For more details on this story and much more, srnnews.com.
If you know the value of good machines, then it's high time we got together. We're Bailey Industrial, builders of metal and woodworking equipment, hardworking machines for hardworking people. We stand behind our equipment and make sure our equipment stands behind you, offering you the after-sale support you need to keep your shop running smoothly, which means making sure you have what you need when you need it, typically shipping within 72 hours or less. So whether you're a fabricator or manufacturer of metal or wood products, go to Bailey.com or call 920-MACHINE and we'll send you a catalog. That's right, friend, over 400 pages of what you love most, machines. So whatever you're looking to build or manufacture, do it with Bailey Industrial, the company you can trust to give you the equipment and service you can rely on. That's B-A-I-L-E-I-G-H. Bailey, because if it's worth doing right, it's only right to do it with Bailey. So call 920-MACHINE or go to Bailey.com now and pick up your free catalog.
Hi, this is Roger, and I just want to take a minute to brag about our home here at the Salem Center office building. It's a completely modern and recently redecorated office complex, conveniently located near many of the area's popular destinations. We're right off JTB, Phillips Highway, and I-95, only minutes from the Bay Meadows Town Center and downtown areas. And we're looking for a few friends who would like to lease office space. Rates are reasonable, and in fact, they're much less than what you'd expect to pay for high-quality office space. So whether you're looking for a single office, multiple offices, or a whole suite, we can help you. The Salem Center offers shared conference room space and many other amenities. Just call our leasing manager at 861-0444. That's 861-0444. Don't wait. These great offices won't last long. Call 861-0444. Or learn more at SalemCenter.com.
Business is happening every day, all around us. Stay on top of it all with our sister station, 100.3 The Biz.
You're listening to Bloomberg Markets with Tim Fox and Lisa Abramowitz.
Stay up to the minute with Bloomberg Radio.
This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Catch up with the latest news with Gordon Deal.
You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
100.3 The Biz.
Stuck in traffic? WBOB has the answer.
34 past the hour and a hot Saturday afternoon with Johnny Dinah. Watch out for some traffic building up on I-295 North just before Bay Meadows. Steamy one out there, hazy sunshine, high in the low 90s. Cloudy tonight, lows down in the 70s. Partly sunny, chance of rain at 40% for us tomorrow with highs in the upper 80s. Nightly degrees right now at AM 600 WBOB, the answer.
WBOB AM 600 and FM 101.1 welcomes you to today's Ask the Expert show with local experts in the fields of legal, financial, health, and home improvement. Each week, our experts offer educational information on important subjects that affect your day-to-day living. Now, sit back and enjoy today's Ask the Experts.
WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM, The Answer. Hello, I'm Roger, and you're listening to the Ask the Experts show. And we are here with Mark Goldwich, who is a public adjuster. And we're going to learn a whole lot about public adjusters, what they do, and probably some of the most effective ways that you can file an insurance claim, particularly when your home or business may be affected. Mark, welcome to the Ask the Experts program today.
Thank you for having me, Roger.
Okay, real quick, tell us about Gold Star Adjusters.
Gold Star Adjusters is a firm of public insurance adjusters based in Jacksonville, Florida. We have a number of claims adjusters in Jacksonville and throughout the state, as well as Georgia and Minnesota.
Okay, I recently learned what a public adjuster was after Hurricane Matthew hit not long ago. I've got a friend we found out happens to work with you. Tell us real quick, for those who may not have ever heard of what a public adjuster is before, what is a public adjuster?
Well, a public adjuster is simply a licensed and bonded insurance adjuster who works only for the policyholder or the insured, not the insurance company, and that's the big difference.
Right.
So we represent the policyholder directly to the insurance company. We stand in kind of your shoes for you, make sure that you get paid everything that you're supposed to get paid,
right,
not just what the insurance company feels like paying you.
Right. Now, if someone has a claim against their for their house, maybe there's some damage due to a storm, et cetera, would it be common then for the insurance company to send their adjuster out and then you represent the homeowner, or will they allow you to represent both the insurance company and just take your word for it? How does that work?
No, the insurance company is always going to send out their adjuster. Although sometimes now, instead of even sending out an adjuster, they'll send out a contractor or an engineer or a consultant of some kind. Sometimes they don't even send out an adjuster. But typically, they will send out their own adjuster that works for them. The only time that you get to have an adjuster that works for you is if you hire a public adjuster like a Gold Star.
Okay. Very, very interesting. Again, I only recently found out that there are public adjusters and that the profession even existed.
Right. And most people are completely unaware.
Uh-huh.
And so then they're stuck with the insurance company's adjuster who poses as somebody that is in the middle or fair or represents the works for the insurance mm-hmm. companies, but is there to help the policyholder.
Right.
Well, they're there to help the insurance company only.
Right.
By statute, that's who their loyalty is to.
Right.
It's not to the homeowner, to the policyholder.
Now, I would imagine there's some type of credential or license you have to have from the state. What would make someone qualified to be a public adjuster?
Yes, you have to be licensed, and you have to take an exam and be licensed, and you have to be bonded, more than just licensed. And so it's basically the same licensure as what the insurance company adjuster has.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on an equal footing, or professionally, we have pretty much the same license. The only difference is that with their license, they're not allowed to represent the homeowner. And with our license, we are allowed to represent the homeowner. We're not allowed to represent an insurance company.
Interesting. What are the different types of adjusters?
There are three basic types of adjusters. You've got the staff adjuster or the employed adjuster who only works for the insurance company, right? They're actually employed by the insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have what's called an independent adjuster, which sounds like they're independent and they're fair and in the middle. They work for adjusting companies, not employed by the insurance company, but they're hired out by the insurance company. It's basically it's outsourcing.
Okay.
Instead of the insurance company sending out their own employed adjuster, they outsource it to the independent adjusting firm who sends out an independent adjuster. Still, the name says independent, but make no mistake, they work for the insurance company.
I'm Roger Henderson, and you're listening to the Ask the Experts program here on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM. We are here with Mark Goldwich of Gold Star Adjusters. We are learning a whole lot about what people may want to consider doing that would benefit them if they ever have to have a homeowner insurance claim. And you can reach Gold Star Adjusters online at goldstaradjusters.com. The phone number is 904-406-7232. And Mark, I understand you not only serve people who have homes in Florida, but also anywhere in the country. And we've got a lot of listeners who tune into the station in Georgia and in South Carolina. The 800 number is 800-523-2589. I guess with the recent Hurricane Matthew, you've been a busy guy lately, huh?
We sure have. We've been very busy since Hurricane Matthew came in last October, helping a lot of people, which is great that we get to do that. Help a lot of people who really need it, because these hurricane claims can be really big claims and very stressful on people to deal with, especially when they go on for months. Some of these claims will go on for years, and people when it happens, they just don't realize that this event is going to have such a long tail on it.
Let me ask you this. If someone's already made a claim against their homeowner's insurance policy, the work has not yet been completed, or maybe it was completed but not to their satisfaction, is this something that you can help with to make sure that the ability to have their home made whole again is actually done by the homeowner's insurance company?
Absolutely, Roger. We can handle the claim at any point in the process. Before they file the claim, we can come in, talk to them, assess their damages, talk about their policy, maybe help them even submit it properly. All the way through, after they've been paid and they're just not happy, we can then come in on the back end and help them get everything that they're supposed to get. Mm-hmm. Again, not just what the insurance company felt like doling out at the time that they sent an adjuster.
Yeah. What percentage of claimants, people who have made claims against their policies, to have? Because they've been making the premiums all along. You know, every time they pay their mortgage, that they don't really get everything that they should have gotten, in your assessment.
I would say it's pretty close to 100%.
Really?
Because in my experience, and I've been a licensed adjuster for 30 years, I've been a public adjuster with Gold Star for 12 years. We've handled thousands and thousands of claims. And I can count on one hand a case where we said, no, the insurance company is right. They paid the right amount of money on one hand. And that's it. In pretty much every other case, looking back, now I can never say what your case is going to be like going forward, but in looking back at all the claims, you know, we always get them more money, and it's substantially more money.
Right, and I guess that's just one of the benefits of hiring a public adjuster to represent you. Can you think of any others?
Well, one is that you don't have to now deal with the claim yourself for weeks, months, or years on end. You get to go about your daily life, and
important.
We do it for you. We do the heavy lifting, and this is our job. You know, if you had an IRS problem where you were being audited, you're not going to go there alone. If you're going to court, you're not going to go there without an attorney to represent you. If you're buying a home, you're usually going to have a realtor there with you to help you through that process. It's really no different in insurance. But most people, they go through that process alone, and they usually don't fare so well because they're outmatched. They don't have the experience or the knowledge or the expertise to deal with the insurance company adjuster, who that's what they do for a living.
Every day of the week, 40 hours a week, that's what they do. So
right.
they know all the ins and outs. And their job is to give you something to keep you a little happy, but at the same time, I would imagine, save the insurance company money because that's their employer.
Exactly. You know, when I was working for a big insurance company, we were taught if you save just $5 on every claim, and now they would stress, not by cheating somebody, but by shaving a little bit here or there, now they can and they could still get the work done for that lower amount. But if you could save just $5 on every claim, if they had 1 million claims in a year, that's $5 million, right? Well, now what if you could shave $300 off of that claim? What if you could shave $3,000 off of that claim? You can imagine how the money really starts to add up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, while I can't say that they are there to cheat you out of any money, and actually, by law, I'm not allowed to say that. Even if I could prove it, I wouldn't be allowed to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can imagine how much money they would be talking about saving if they could just shave a little money off of every claim.
Okay, the insurance adjuster from the insurance company has shown up. They said, okay, to get this roof fixed or this roof or siding fixed or whatever, we'll pay you or write you a check for X amount of dollars. Does the homeowner have to accept that amount?
No, they don't have to accept that amount. Not at all. But they can accept it and still pursue the claim. And most people are under the misconception that once they accept what the insurance company offers them, that they're stuck with it and that they're not allowed to then claim more. And that's not the case. I always recommend to people that it's better to have that money in your bank than in their bank. Besides, what people also don't know is if they were to refuse or reject a settlement and send the money back to the insurance company has the right to then review their own claim and see if maybe they don't think they overpaid it the first time.
Really?
And then send you a lesser check. I can tell you, when I was working for an insurance company, I've done it. So it can be done. We don't see it happen a lot.
Right.
But I don't recommend people send back money to an insurance company.
We'll be right back with more of Ask the Experts. When disaster strikes, most people try to handle their claims themselves. Or worse, they leave the claim handling up to the insurance company, hoping they'll be treated fairly and get paid what they are entitled to. Unless you are experienced in property insurance claims, handling your own major loss would be like defending yourself in court. What a mistake.
That's where Gold Star Adjusters come in. They know insurance. More importantly, they know insurance claims. At Gold Star, they have licensed adjusters who work only for you. They prepare, submit, and negotiate the claim on your behalf and with your best interests in mind. You need Gold Star on your side. They have the training, experience, and know-how to recover the maximum settlement in your claim. If you don't get more money, they don't get paid. That's right, no recovery, no fee, guaranteed. So if you have a claim that is not being handled properly, call Gold Star today, 904-406-7232. That's 904-406-7232. Gold Star Adjusters, never settle for less. Mark Stephen Goldwich, Florida license A099530.
Let's return to today's Ask the Experts on WBOB AM 600 and FM 101.1, The Answer.
Welcome back to Ask the Experts here on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM, The Answer. Is there any advantage or disadvantage on using a contractor that the insurance company recommends? Maybe they've got a bulk deal with a certain contractor that, you know, send all of our work to this guy here. They think he does pretty good work, and he gives us a 10% discount. Talk about the insurance company recommended contractor to repair someone's home.
Well, believe it or not, it gets a little bit even more intense than that. There's at least one insurance company that we know of that owns a contracting firm. So when you have a loss with them, if that insurance company decides that the claim is actually covered and that they would pay for it, they send out their contractor, which is their company's contractor, and they get the work done. So you don't get the choice to even take the money and spend it as you see fit. And the whole idea of managed repair and of contractors working for insurance companies, you know, that's done, of course, to benefit the insurance company. They're going to tell you how it's there to benefit you, mm-hmm. but, you know, you'll have to take that for what it's worth. But they want to control the process, and they want to control the expenses, the money. Their contractor is working for them, just like their adjuster is working for them. You should always use caution whenever an insurance company suggests that you need to, you should, or you must use their contractor.
Right, right. I remember we had our house built, and I guess that was about, 15 or so years ago. And every phase of the building of our home, there was a city inspector who came by and either signed off, said, okay, this is a good job, or they said that, sorry, you have to do this over. And I remember, because it's a two-story home, they had to come out like three times to have them fix something on the building of the second floor. But, you know, since that time, we've had to have our roof replaced. We had to have our fence replaced. I was telling you after off the air, right after Hurricane Matthew, that our fence went bye-bye. Right. I don't remember any contractors coming out saying that it was a good job and we approved that. Is there any check and balance when a contractor comes out for a repair of a damaged situation or no?
Well, there's not much. No, not really. In the example of a roof, if they're replacing the roof, the roofer or the contractor should be pulling a permit to replace the roof.
I may have just forgotten.
And those should be inspected. The roof should be inspected. If they're doing a repair to siding, or they're painting, or they're replacing some drywall, they're not going to have an inspector come out for that. Mm. But they do get the roofs inspected because they want to be sure that it's being put onto code. The roof is an important part of your building envelope. They want to be sure that it's able to withstand high winds, especially in a state like Florida. And so they do inspect for roofs.
Well, let me ask you this. Can a contractor who knocked on your door, maybe they've gone door to door after the hurricane and they see all this damage, trees knocked down the part of the garage, whatever, and the contractor offers to handle the claim for you? Yeah, what happens with that? Is that something that a homeowner should do, or how is that handled?
I'm always a little leery of unsolicited contractors. After every storm, hurricane, natural disaster, you will always hear stories locally of contractors who knocked on doors, asked for half down, or asked for all of the money in advance, and then left and didn't do the work, or didn't complete the work, or didn't do a good job. I always recommend people hire contractors same way they hire other professionals, by checking with friends, neighbors, coworkers, relatives, interviewing more than one contractor for the job.
Googling their name.
Google them, right. Check them out on whether it's Yelp or the Better Business Bureau or a number of other ways. But yeah, usually if you Google them, and if you Google their name and complaints, you also find some complaints come up that way. But I don't recommend taking the first person that walks in off the street, walks up your driveway, knocks on your door, and says, give me some money and I'm going to fix your place.
Just because they have a great smile.
Right. Not usually the best idea. Now, and these people are usually salesmen who are doing the knocking. The people who are knocking on your doors are most likely not going to be the ones swinging the hammer at your home. So they're salesmen, and they're really good at what they do. You need to be careful.
We're here with Mark Goldwich on the Ask the Experts program here on WBOB, AM 600, and 101.1 FM, The Answer. He is with Gold Star Adjusters. And if you've got a claim on your home, possibly even after Hurricane Matthew, it's not fixed yet, or maybe it has been fixed, but there's a problem with it, or maybe you had to come out of pocket for part of the repairs, Gold Star Adjusters can take a look at things for you and maybe get you some more money. You can learn more about them online at goldstaradjusters.com. GoldStarAdjusters.com in the Jacksonville calling area, 904-406-7232. That's 406-7232. And I found out Mark, he treats people who have issues like this anywhere in the country. So if you're listening in Georgia or South Carolina nearby, we have a lot of people who listen to WBOB in these areas. 800-523-2589 is the number to call. All right, suppose someone's got their own contractor. You know, they've known the guy for a while, and they either want to give him the business or they have confidence in their work. Can they handle the claim for them?
Well, I wouldn't say that they can handle the claim for them. They can do the repairs for them, but a contractor should not be assisting in adjusting an insurance claim.
It's two different professions, two different skill sets.
Two different professions and skill sets. Not only that, but it's illegal in Florida.
Wow.
The contractor is not licensed to assist on an insurance claim. Your insurance policy is actually a contract. The actual public adjusters have a carve-out because typically only an attorney would be able to deal with that contract and the insurance company. But that's why they created a license for public adjusters, and they allow us to also interpret the contract, the policy, and negotiate that settlement. There is no such license like that for contractors. And even if a contractor got licensed as a public adjuster, which they're allowed to do, they have to choose on any particular home – which are they going to be? Are they going to be the contractor or are they going to be the public adjuster? They're not allowed to be both.
Are they required to disclose which they're doing when they talk to the homeowner?
Yes, they have to disclose which they're doing. And it should be obvious that the contractor is not doing the repairs, but they're helping with the settlement of the claim. Unfortunately, we do find a lot of contractors, they're just trying to help, right? So they meet with the adjuster, they talk about the claim, they maybe talk about the policy, they maybe talk about coverages, the deductible, code issues. Some of these things are okay for them to do, but the overall, we're here to help you settle the claim. They're not allowed to help settle or negotiate an insurance claim.
And for the homeowner who's experienced a once or maybe twice, three times in a lifetime event, they don't know all the ins and outs and who shouldn't be doing what and how they're not being adequately represented. So it's always a good idea to get in touch with someone like you, right?
Absolutely. They can use their contractor, their friend, the contractor, to help them repair the home. And we work with them. We work in conjunction with whatever contractor you decide on. But only a licensed public adjuster should be handling, adjusting, negotiating an insurance claim on anybody's behalf.
Okay. Insurance adjuster comes out. They assess the damage and they say they don't owe to match. Is that true, and what does that mean?
Well, you'll hear them say that a lot. For example, on roofs, or for example, on fence. Maybe not the whole roof is damaged, or maybe not all of the fence is damaged. Maybe some slats here or there, maybe a panel here or there came down and is damaged. And obviously, when they repair those damaged panels, those damaged slats, or just those damaged shingles, it's not going to match. It's not going to look good. And sometimes, if you're driving down the street, you'll see this.
So you have brand new wood, and then a little bit further down the fence, it's old gray wood.
Right next to it. And sometimes it's a little bit here, a little bit there, 5 feet here. And because you can't tell which slats are going to be damaged by the wind or which sections are going to go down, it's hit and miss.
So your home ends up looking horrible.
It could end up looking like piano keys, your fence, when by the time they're done, and that's not a good look for a fence. And as you know, your homeowners association, they're not going to appreciate that. And so the adjuster, they will remind you, the policy says we don't owe to match. Because you're going to say it doesn't match, and they're going to say, well, we don't owe to match. The policy doesn't require that we match it. And that's true. However, what they're not telling you is that in Florida, there's a statute that says the insurance company does owe to provide a reasonable match. And if your fence is looking like piano keys, I would easily be able to argue that that is not a reasonable match. So We're going to say they do owe to match. They're going to say they don't owe to match. As with most things, the truth is in between, and that they owe to provide a reasonable match is the way they legally say it in the statute. But our position is that that's not a reasonable match, and so they do owe to match it for you.
Okay. And having someone like you going to bat for the homeowner is a true benefit.
Absolutely. I mean, we're on the same playing field with them, and sometimes we're at a higher playing field. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of adjusters that I meet with who haven't been adjusting insurance claims for 30 years like I have, and who haven't been on both sides of the table. Mm-hmm. You get a whole different perspective when you do both sides like that, and some of them are, you know, they might have had a whole different profession just 2 years ago,
right,
and they're just getting into this because all of a sudden there's a storm and a great need for adjusters.
Okay, a storm has happened. Matthew was, I guess, a half a year ago, and they've got piano key fencing.
Right.
What can they do now?
They can still give us a call.
Is there a statute of limitations? How long?
There is. In Florida, generally for a claim in general, it's 5 years.
Oh, really?
So plenty of time. But a couple of years ago, the insurance companies, they didn't like that public adjusters and others had so much time to find people who were not happy and to explain to them that they have a right to be happy with their insurance settlement. And the insurance industry and their powerful lobbies got with the state, and they created a new statute of limitations in Florida that says after a hurricane like Matthew, you only have 3 years now. Mm-hmm. Now, it's still a good amount of time, 3 years, but in general, it's 5 years. And now for hurricanes, it's just 3 years.
Mark Goldwich is here with us from Gold Star Adjusters. And maybe you're in a situation when you need to talk to a public adjuster. Mark wants to help. You can reach him online at goldstaradjusters.com and call him at 904-406-7232, 904-406-7232. If you are outside of the 904 calling area, 800-523-2589. Mark wants to help you. Okay, I got one last question before our time's run out. And this is an important one, especially in light of the fact that we just had Matthew roll through the area. What are our options if you don't agree with the settlement on the claim?
You have a couple of options in Florida. The state of Florida has actually set up a mediation program that everybody is allowed to utilize. If certain criteria is met, the dispute has to be at least $500, and that's basically it. So you have to have a dispute with your insurance company of at least $500, and you can go to the state and request a mediation. And so that's one way that you can maybe resolve the dispute. But again, if you're doing this on your own and you're meeting with the adjuster at this mediation on your own, may not go so well for you.
Not only that, but you know, you've missed work, so that's $500 out of your paycheck.
Right.
Because you have to go back and forth to these meetings and the extra stress that causes.
Right. Other than that, you can always go up the chain of command at the insurance company, complain, write letters, and see if that helps. My experience is it doesn't really help that much. You can complain to the state, and you can hire an attorney. You can hire an adjuster like myself or Gold Star and have the claim professionally handled.
Okay. Mark Goldwich, we have learned so much with your time on the air here with us during the Ask the Experts program. Again, if you want to get in touch with Mark, maybe ask some questions that we didn't cover or talk with him about some specifics with respect to your home, it's goldstaradjusters.com, and you can reach him at 904-406-7232 and toll-free if you're outside of the Jacksonville calling area at 800-523-2589. Mark, thanks so much.
Thank you, Roger. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Had a great time.
When disaster strikes, most people try to handle their claims themselves. Or worse, they leave the claim handling up to the insurance company, hoping they'll be treated fairly and get paid what they are entitled to. Unless you are experienced in property insurance claims, handling your own major loss would be like defending yourself in court. What a mistake. That's where Gold Star Adjusters come in. They know insurance. More importantly, they know insurance claims. At Gold Star, they have licensed adjusters who work only for you. They prepare, submit, and negotiate the claim on your behalf and with your best interests in mind. You need Gold Star on your side. They have the training, experience, and know-how to recover the maximum settlement in your claim. If you don't get more money, they don't get paid. That's right, no recovery, no fee, guaranteed. So if you have a claim that is not being handled properly, call Gold Star today, 904-406-7232. That's 904-406-7232. Gold Star Adjusters, never settle for less. Mark Stephen Goldwich, Florida license A099530.